What's up, guys? This is Alex Quinn. I'm a Forbes accredited marketer and global keynote speaker. And this is the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. We are a self-development and entrepreneurship community for go-getters to organize their life and business. Get ready to gain knowledge from top-level entrepreneurs and world-class business leaders and be one step closer to becoming the ultimate entrepreneur. Before we start this episode, how would you feel if I told you that you could change your whole business process around with just $20? Keep on listening to the episode to find out how.
The Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast teamed up with ManyChat as the official podcast partner for this year's Conversations 2019 in Austin, Texas. We hope you enjoyed the value from these episodes and let us know what you think.
What is up, guys? This is Alex Quinn, and you're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. Today, we are in Austin, Texas at the ManyChat Conversations 2019 conference, and I'm very, very excited to have some really cool guests like Elaine today. Elaine, how you doing?
Great, Alex. Great to be here.
It's great to talk to you right now. We've been talking for a few minutes, getting to know each other, and I was very excited to speak to you, mainly because of the reason that we're here for ManyChat, and it's for conversating with customers, growing your audience, and making that connection. And what better way to make that connection than to have great copy, than to have great copy skills? And it's something that my young audience, my entrepreneurs who are listening to this, really, really need to know about. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do and the importance to copy?
Sure. Well, Alex, I am a journalist. I've been writing about entrepreneurship for years, and I wrote a book called The $1 Million One-Person Business about one-person businesses that are getting to $1 million in revenue with no employees. It's actually based on a trend I noticed in some boring census data that their numbers have been going up each year. And while they're a tiny percentage of all the entrepreneurs that are out there, there has been steady growth. So I feel like we can all learn from them. And one part of it is communication. They're all really good communicators.
Yeah. It's so a funny story how things have been changing and how you could actually, like you're saying, you could build a business yourself or one or two other people and really get out there. When I started my agency, I scaled up pretty fast. I started at around like 20 years old. And by the time I was 22, we had 17 employees across three offices in South Florida. It was a little bit crazy for me because I was younger and didn't really know what I was doing, so it was difficult for me. I wasn't financially literate in many ways. There was many things that were missing from my education that I didn't receive in high school and college that I needed as an entrepreneur. I decided to change my business model because I started traveling, going to events around the world, speaking on podcasts, speaking on different stages, and I couldn't be in three offices. I just simply couldn't do it. So I switched my whole business model around. I pretty much switched all my clients around and went from 17 people to three people. Three people running the business. Over the last probably year and a half, we scaled to back to 11, but it's people all over the world. We're all over the world being able to work from wherever we are. And I honestly noticed that the efficiency is way better. People like working in their own environment way better than coming into an office and warming seats. And it was very, very big for me because I was able to scale tenfold and become more popular in my space as I did it. Rather than being in my office 18 hours a day, I could be here with you in Austin, Texas while my team around the world is operating. So that's really, really cool.
It's all about efficiency.
Yeah.
It's not about occupying an office or having a giant team. It's about having the right people who feel good. Like what you're talking about, no one feels good sitting in an office, right? It's unhealthy. It's not natural for us. So if you're working at home, you could go out for a run at lunchtime or go see some friends or do something after work, which is very hard to do when you have a corporate job. So you probably were getting more out of each person because they were feeling great. Like they loved their life. And then they perform better.
Yeah, and you know, what I noticed in my short, I'm 25, you know, I have a lot to learn, but what I noticed is a lot of it is ego. Okay, so at least from my perspective, I wanted the most employees, the biggest office. And I was trying to scale my business thinking the wrong way. So I wanted to be the biggest office, the biggest guy with the most employees, but why? Like,
well, that's the conventional wisdom. So you were probably absorbing that from the way businesses are judged. I always had a different perspective on this. Now, I covered all the scalable businesses for many years, but what I saw was the vast majority of businesses in the country are one-person businesses. There's about 28 million businesses. It's like more than two-thirds of them are one-person businesses. And people have often looked at them as failures. Like, these are businesses that didn't scale. They didn't read the E-Myth. The owner's trying to do too much themselves.
That was recommended to me last week.
It's a good book. But the thinking behind it assumes that the only good kind of business is the big scalable next Facebook.
Yeah.
What I realized was people actually like these one-person businesses, but their pain point is some of the stuff you're talking about. There's no one who teaches you how to run it. You make mistakes, and financially it can be a struggle unless you know how to run it efficiently and successfully. So in the book, what I looked at was these real people of all walks of life who were doing this in a whole bunch of different fields, you know, ranging from freelance copywriters to manufacturers, one-person manufacturers. What were they doing differently from all the people that are struggling? And we've all been there in a one-person business where you're really struggling and you have no one to turn to. But they got past that. It's lonely, but there's a way out of it. And I think what you did, you sought community, right? You went to events. You were around other people. You connected with all the other people and you learned from them. That's how you have to do it, because there's no school that will teach you how to do it. But once you know how to do it, you have an incredible freedom to live the way that you want.
Yeah.
And that's super exciting to me.
Since you're listening to this episode, I want to make sure that you save my phone number so I could let you know about new podcast episodes or networking events going on in your area. Go to my Instagram, Alex Quinn, AlexQuin, and hit the contact button and then text me.
For me, the most important part after, because when I started business, I was just trying to make money. You know, okay, like a young guy trying to make money.
You need to pay the bills, right? That's a legitimate reason to start a business.
Well, I didn't want to pay the bills. I wanted to get myself a bunch of stuff, which is completely different, right? But then I slowly learned that what I wanted was peace. And I wanted time for myself. More importantly, time to learn. Because the only way to be great at what you do and to really be recognized and be a thought leader and be like an authority in your industry is to be educated. That, you know, that there's a big thing going on in the United States right now and around the world that don't go to college, this or that. Look, I'm a big believer in education. You need to educate yourself, okay? You just need to be smart about how you educate yourself. Don't get yourself into crazy amounts of debt. Don't do things you don't need to do, but educate yourself. And once you're done, don't stop, because the world doesn't stop, so why would your education stop? That's why I constantly read every day. I take courses every week on different things, public speaking, writing, so many things, because I genuinely want to be great. And people will recognize that when they speak to me or talk to me, and I'm always going to have work and I'm always going to have opportunities, rather than sit back and, you know, say, oh, I have a degree, I'm entitled. No, you're not entitled, because you have to keep going. Just like doctors. Doctors can never stop studying because things are always changing and evolving. You got to keep going.
That's very insightful. And if you're passionate about the business, you'll enjoy doing the learning. That's one of the tricks, is figuring out what do you actually want to do that intersects with what people want to buy. Because you could have a passion that you love that maybe isn't something you can monetize, or that you don't want to. Like maybe you love yoga, but you don't want to have a yoga business because you don't want money to be involved with yoga. You just love the yoga for itself.
Experience.
So you've got to figure out what you want to monetize that taps into that. And then you'll always enjoy reading about it. You'll always enjoy going to events and hanging out with the other people who do it. And that's a journey, right? You might not hit it right out of the park. You know, you may have to try some different things until you finally feel like you're in your right kind of work.
In your groove,
and you're like, you feel purpose and you're connected, and it's I look at it as almost like a practice. I do Taekwondo.
Okay.
You have a martial art, like it's kind of a practice, right? You're always refining and trying to get better. Yoga is similar to that. I also do yoga. You don't learn it all at once.
All my friends tell me.
It's awesome. I love hot yoga, actually. Hot yoga it's so intense. I was in a class the other day, and there was a guy who had to be about 24, and he's like, man, this was the hardest exercise class I've ever taken.
I heard so.
And it's really, but it's like, you can't think about anything else when you're in there. You really can't. I've never been a good meditator. I always wanted to meditate.
I was going
to
ask you about that.
I don't meditate. I try, but then I get distracted. But yoga is meditative, and if you take a hard class, you just get into it so much. Like, the heat is so hot in there that
and the discipline too.
Yeah, you can't even think about it. You know, you can't think about your list that you're going to do when you get out of the class. You just try to do the next pose. And I think finding something like that is good for clearing the decks in your mind so that you can have fresh thinking about your business.
Especially as an entrepreneur, because you could get so much clutter in your head with so many things that you want to do, that sometimes all you really need, instead of doing more, is to do less. Stop for a second, give yourself a break, and approach the next situation or the next decision with a clear mind, because you're going to probably be able to make better decisions. Because when you make decisions, when you're foggy, flustered, frustrated, sometimes those are not the best decisions that we make. Also, when we make decisions when we're too excited, right? It's good to make decisions with a clear, cool mind. And things like yoga, things like meditation, things like taekwondo, martial arts, these things help you to clear your mind with discipline for yourself, for your daily life. I'm going to tell you something. I've traveled the world during the last 2 years, and 9 out of 10 successful people that I've ever met in all of these things do yoga.
That's really interesting. I find there are a lot of meditators. That's why I want to do it. And I try, but I could do it for about 1 minute. So I figure it's kind of a journey, though. Like, if I can get past the minute, then maybe I could get to 2 minutes. Anything that gets you away from the laptop, because that's the other thing. I feel like digital is such a big tool for so many of our businesses, and we wouldn't be where we are without it. But at the same time, you can't be in front of the laptop all the time working on the business, or you will not be creative. Your ideas will get stale.
You got to go out and see the world.
Yeah, you've got to be around people too. I mean, business is about people ultimately, right? It's about connecting with people, whether you connect with them by speaking, through your copywriting, just meeting them at a networking event. Like, ultimately, why are you having a business, right? It's always about people. That's the bottom line.
Let's take a quick break. I want to tell you about a new way I run my business. So did you know that I was able to increase my workload and close more leads by automating my client onboarding operation over the last few months? I removed the friction points in my communication process so clients are able to approve, sign, and pay all in one go. This was all thanks to HoneyBook. HoneyBook is a client management software that helps businesses like yours manage and automate projects. Now, from the moment your clients are ready to say yes, they'll automatically receive the proposal, contract, and payment all in one email. So you're able to focus on getting more clients, less friction, and more deals. Thanks to HoneyBook, all Hustle Inspires Hustle listeners get 50% off when you go to honeybook.com and use promo code Alex, A-L-E-X. Now, let's jump back into the episode.
I've been recommended, specifically what you're discussing right now about being in front of the computer, and I'm actually going to start implementing that this week, is wearing blue blockers. While you're using mobile devices, for the blue light, that definitely doesn't help, especially at night. It messes up your sleeping patterns. So that's something that I'm going to get into, especially because, at least for me, my mornings consist of writing. I'm writing in my book. I'm writing for my blog. I'm writing for other press outlets like the Forbes Councils and other stuff that I try to stay engaged in when I have time, because I obviously have to run my business. But that's something that – those are little habits you start picking up and different things you start doing to shape yourself into the best person that you could be within what you do. With that being said, why don't we talk to the audience a little bit about your experience, some of the platforms and businesses that you work with, and what you do in general?
Sure. Well, I started out as a staff writer and reporter and editor in journalism. I kind of evolved into a business reporter. I started early as a street reporter. I worked in Patterson and Jersey City. One of my beats was the Hudson County Jail, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. And then after a while, I was kind of burned out on always covering tragedies and that sort of thing. So I got a job as a fashion editor. I was at Women's Wear Daily for about a year and a half. And then I realized that wasn't my true calling. We were talking about experimenting. I enjoyed it. And I actually found the business side really interesting. I had a friend who was a designer, and I saw how creative he was and how his challenges with the business side were keeping him from doing what he wanted to do. He had his clothes in bundles, and so I helped him with his business plan. Anyway, this helped evolve me into a business reporter, and I got a job at Success Magazine for a while. Then I went over to Fortune Small Business Online at Fortune Magazine. I was a senior editor there. I ran their website for 4 years for Fortune Small Business Online, and then went over to the magazine, then back to the website. Then I had 4 children. I went freelance about 12 years ago, and so I've been living the freelance life for a while. And I've written for many of the major business publications, Forbes. I have a blog where I write about the one-person business regularly, and CNBC, Crain's New York Business, Inc. I do some stuff for the Economist Intelligence Unit, and you know, variety of different business outlets. And out of that evolved a ghostwriting side of my business. I had one client who I was his editor when I was at Fortune Small Business. And when I went freelance, he said, "I want you to be my private editor." And then I got to know his voice so well that sometimes I'll ghostwrite for him, and he tells everybody it's not a big secret. And then he started referring me to his friends, and it sort of evolved naturally. And now a good part of the work that I do is ghostwriting, and I really love it. I love working with other writers because this is my write work. You know, I could talk about writing all day long. I'm so passionate about it, and some of the people I work with really are, they're more quantitative types. Writing isn't their strong point, but they're willing to learn. And then other people, they are really good at it. They just need a little help. And
or they don't have the time.
Yeah, they don't have
the
time.
And
yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so it's really, it's fun to see their journey when I work with them. Sometimes I write the whole thing. Other times they write and I edit. I customize it heavily. But it's kind of like being an actor sometimes where you have to go into character, right? Because sometimes they're very different from me. You know, I might be the CEO of a multi-million dollar company with 1,000 employees. Well, I'm a freelance writer, you know, who does taekwondo and yoga all the time. You know, I'm a different person. I'm a mother with 4 kids. You know, maybe they're not a parent, but you get into character. You really have to listen. A big part of it is listening. So I want to hear how they phrase things because if I write a book for them, and then they go speak and it doesn't sound like them, then there's something that's not genuine. So it's like allowing them to really be heard and express themselves in the way that they naturally do, but also keeping in mind the audience, right? Maybe the way they express things might be too high level for an audience that's less familiar with the subject. So maybe we need to just explain things more. And maybe they wouldn't naturally explain it, but I'm a neutral third party saying, hey, wait a minute. I don't really understand that M&A transaction. Like, let's explain it to me like I'm a complete idiot. Not that the audience is an idiot, but if you use it that way,
they break it down.
And then I'm like, okay, well, then we'll take it back up to the sophistication level of your voice, but we just need to have all these missing steps to it that people don't understand. And it's a really fun process. I really get to know the clients well, and I consider all of them dear friends. And it brings a lot of meaning to my life to help people be heard when they might not otherwise write a book that the world really needs. So it's a lot of fun.
That's great. Now, where can people find you? Like, what are your most active platforms that you socially interact with people, or blogs or columns that you're writing on that people could read and find you on upon hearing this podcast?
They can LinkedIn. I'm very active on. I'm on Twitter and Facebook as well. Under my full name, Elaine Pofeld. It's P as in Peter, O, F as in Frank, E, L as in Larry, D as in David, T as in Tom. That's a mouthful. Check the show notes. I'm under my full name on all the platforms, and I'm under the $1 million one person business on Instagram, and they can reach me on my website under my name or under the $1 million one person business, all spelled out in words. I do write back. People are always surprised. I love hearing from people because it makes me a better journalist and writer to know what questions they have. Are there gaps in what I wrote where they would like fill-ins? Because then that makes me more attentive to those things going forward. So please do write to me. Let me know what's going on with your business. I really enjoy hearing from people.
Well, Elaine, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you, get to know you. I'm excited to see you on stage. I know you're going to be speaking soon. There's a few thousand people in there, so it's very, very exciting to see you do that. Thank you so much for being on.
Oh, thank
I appreciate you,
Alex.
You so much.
I'm really looking forward to the presentation. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Guys, remember to take time out of your day to study and learn new things. Read every day, take new courses, or join a mastermind group. Don't forget to check out honeybook.com to automate your business processes so you could get more clients and get paid faster. Get 50% off when you use code ALEX, A-L-E-X.
Thank you guys so, so much for taking the time to tune in. I'd really appreciate it if you guys could share with someone, review, or even subscribe to the podcast. If you want to connect with me, follow me on Instagram at Hustle Inspires Hustle. Or you could follow me on my personal, Alex Quinn with one N. This is the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast with Alex Quinn.